Good morning again. It's good to be here. It's great. What a great morning. And it's, yeah, to run out of, have to go and refill the communion little cups is quite something. So we just want to give thanks, don't we, that God is on the move. God is right here, right now, and the victory has been won. And part of this series, I guess, is for us to step a little bit further into that victory of knowing that we're on the winning side. Yeah. And hey, listen, I'm not naive to the bumps in the road that come along through life's journey. But one of the things that we have is our glorious, loving, gracious Heavenly Father, who at times is leading us, but most of the time, He's just got His hand in our hand and He's leading us. As someone very wise said to me a couple of weeks ago, He's leading us across the Jordan into that promised land. And whatever that looks like for you and our communities, I hope that as we journey through this series of the book of Ephesians, entitled The Wholeness of for a Broken World. Hey, listen. God will use each one of us to not just stick a plaster on someone's brokenness, but to bring grace, love, compassion, kindness into that for them. Okay. So yes, and welcome to those folks who will be listening to this online at some point. You're very welcome, and I hope that the Lord blesses you immensely as you listen to this. And I, as I say, the series we're starting afresh today is called The Wholeness, Wholeness for a Broken World. It's based on the book of Ephesians. The book is centered, as I say, around speaking words of God's heart to redeem people, to demonstrate through our own experiences of God's grace to others that God wants to heal. He wants to bring wholeness. He wants to bring hope. So over the coming weeks, we're going to explore how God's plan for wholeness is going to be revealed to us as a church, as individuals, by journeying our way through the book of Ephesians. I guess as we, just quickly before we dive into Ephesians, it's important to understand a bit about why Ephesians has been chosen as this letter for us to study. It was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was imprisoned in Rome around AD 60 to 62, when this book was written, I believe. And the young church, it was written, he's writing it to a young church in Ephesus. And it's a church that held a special place in his heart. This is what the commentators say, and actually you can see it in as much that he writes to the church rather than to individuals at the very beginning of the his introduction. Ephesus was not just a city or a place, but it was a strategic place. It was very much a centre of commerce, the culture. It was a bit of a melting pot. Lots of different cultures sort of landed in Ephesus, and with that came lots of different views on life, spirituality, faith. It was very much a centre of pagan worship. And Paul's letter to the Ephesians is about encouraging people in their faith to anchor it around Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, but also knowing that the teachings of Jesus are underpinned by grace. And people get it wrong. And life has a habit of throwing up challenges and missed opportunities and regrets. But if we underpin it with knowing that Jesus forgives, God so loved us that he was willing to sacrifice everything because he is a God of grace and kindness. So let me just pray. Father God, just reveal something new to each one of us today. That's it. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to look at Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14. As a young Christian, I was encouraged to memorize these verses. And I never really understood why this wise Christian, godly man of faith said, memorize these verses. And as I was reading through it, just, wow, I can remember picturing myself trying to memorize it. I'd written it down on little, you know, those little crib cards. And just memorizing it. And just things, even as studying it this week, just revealed, bounced out to me. Oh, gosh, that's that. Oh, that's that. That's why it was so important. What I plan to do is we'll read through this, but we're just going to center this around the vision for the church this year, which is around rebuilding, restoring, renewing and rejoicing. Because, hey, that's how our message of hope, isn't it? This is our purpose. This is our plan for bringing wholeness into the lives of our communities this year. Okay, so I'm going to read it from the Church Bible. It's on page 1173, Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus, of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything, in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to be put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Amen. Great words. So as I say, the title of this series is around wholeness, bringing wholeness in a broken world. And very much this year so far has been about being out there. How can we demonstrate? How can we bring renewal, restoration, and rejoice? It's been great to journey with a number of folks who found and are on that journey of new revelation of God, our Heavenly Father, who is full of grace and love. But as we briefly explore Ephesians today, I just hope each one of us will also be encouraged and also get more insight into our own lives, that through these words written by Paul, we will see how these words speak directly into each one of our lives and our church's vision. A vision that's connected, underpinned by those words, rebuild, restore, renew, and rejoice. And we will get a glimpse of God's eternal purpose, because it is an eternal purpose. And we're part of that. It's an eternal purpose that we're on. And it's brought to life through these verses. It empowers us. It encourages us as a church and as individuals here today in our community. So I'm going to mix up the words a bit. I do apologize. I wrote this without going back to the order. But we're going to start off with the verses, the word renew. Renew, which is God's purpose in Christ. And these are centered around those verses 3 and 6 in Ephesians 1. Paul begins by praising God for his spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings we have in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I get blessed when I get a birthday present or a birthday card. Even better when I get a Valentine's card. But imagine what a spiritual blessing looks like. I'm just going to pause. Maybe you should close our eyes and just think, what does a spiritual blessing look like? A spiritual blessing is just, I don't know about you, but sometimes my imagination, the box of understanding limits the spiritual blessing of what God and the Apostle Paul speaks of here. And I guess for one of those spiritual blessings is renewal. A renewal through the grace of God. A renewal that isn't just about a moral change or doing things, you know, being a better person. But it's a transformation of our identity because we are in Him. It's great to think about that sense of renewal as we are adopted sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, which again, as I say, I keep coming back to this word, grace, an adoption into the family to be a son or a daughter of Jesus is an incredible reflection of God's grace. And I guess as we look at renewal in the vision of TBC, God renews our spirits in Christ. God renews our commitment to help others to discover the new life of Jesus. And this can be done in so many ways, and it's great when you look at that, the pew sheet or the newsletter of the multiple ways that this church building is reaching and connecting with our communities. It encourages when we understand that spiritual blessing of renewal to want to share something with our communities, to be agents of bringing spiritual renewal or practical renewal to our communities in a grace-filled way. And it's great to see Alpha starting, is it tomorrow?
Yes.
Tomorrow night. Isn't that great? An incredible way of sharing God's message through the grace of Jesus, that all can be made new. We can all be made new. Isn't that great? Rebuilding, rebuild, redemption and reconciliation. I'd signpost you to verses 7 and 10 for this. Paul explains how renewal comes through the saving grace of Jesus. God's plan is not just for us as individuals to renew, to rebuild and reconnect all things and everyone to self. But it's part of our church's vision to rebuild. And it mirrors the mission that Paul is talking about in Ephesians. So as we rebuild, we focus on healing broken lives, restoring relationships, and fostering a community both here, where Christ's love is central, but also within those communities that we find ourselves on a daily basis. Redemption and reconciliation comes by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We will rebuild lives and communities by being the hands and feet of Jesus, using Jesus as that anchor in our conversations, in the grace and the love that we show each other. And it's great that we do this in so many ways as a church, through the food bank, through the hub, through our youth work, our toddlers, Monday afternoon services. So many different ways. All these things are actively helping us be part of that rebuilding process of the lives of our communities. And I'm sure as you walk around Tawyn, Abergynolwyn, the locations that you live, you'll see that lives just need something. Even this morning when I'm listening to the news, that underlining theme is around a country, a nation that is broken and needs hope. And we know our hope comes from the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Restore. The mystery of God's will. What does that mean? Hey, listen. If anybody's got an understanding of the mystery of God, please let me know. Because it's a mystery. But I thank the Lord that he left us with the Holy Spirit that just reveals as much as we each of us know. And sometimes it's in, way off into the distance and you can see the horizon that God's taken you to. And other times it's literally like a headlight. You know, you've got a candle and it's just in front of you. And that's the mystery of God's will. And that's the mystery that I guess, you know, each one of us is journeying in our walks with Jesus and with God. But God's purpose is to restore everything. That's it. God's purpose is restore everything and bring it back to him and to be aligned to his will. And he did that through Jesus. Isn't that great? I thought I'd get an amen then, but maybe, yeah. Now, God's restoration isn't partly done. I don't know about you, but when you go around and you look at buildings that are being restored, there's always something that maybe just didn't quite happen. But I can tell you, the restoration that God wants in our lives and in our communities is comprehensive. And it involves every aspect of our lives. And I guess for TBC, the church here, our vision of restoration absolutely echoes this theme. And I hope that we'd all agree and believe in the restorative power of God that can mend broken hearts, broken homes, broken finances, and broken hopes and aspirations. As a church, again, through many of our initiatives and our own personal desire, is that through someone's brokenness, we can bring that restorative power of God's incredible grace. And we recognise that that grace will be demonstrated in so many ways. And maybe it is just, you know, a quick hello to a neighbour who may well have cut the hedge down when you didn't want them to cut it down. I'm not talking about my neighbour, by the way. It could be that there's a life that you see on a daily basis, that through a smile, a word of encouragement, a quick chat, can bring about change. God will work through those safe, loving conversations. God will. And finally, that place that we all want to be able to stand in is that place of rejoicing. And like I say, it's great that even this year we've been able to rejoice with folks who are in this room right now, who are seeing that restorative, renewing, rebuilding love of Jesus in their lives. And there's some folks who've moved on, who we celebrate and celebrated with. But Paul reminds us that the guarantee of our inheritance, which is definitely something that we need to rejoice about, is sealed with the Holy Spirit. This assurance of the Holy Spirit gives us a reason to rejoice. For we know that through the grace of God, his purpose will be fulfilled in. At TBC, our vision to rejoice is rooted in the knowledge of Jesus and his grace. We rejoice because we can be confident that God is with us and that his promises for us as individuals and as a church are true. And a word which was spoken out last Sunday by Andrew, which was the word of confidence. This guarantee of inheritance that we read about in verses 13 and 14 should give us confidence. And this confidence will flow out in our worship, in our work, and people around us will see it. They will see it and they'll want to know where it's coming from. What's this all about? And it's from those conversations. A confidence in that the church is setting up different initiatives, doing new things. When other things around us are closing down or not doing so well. These will all act as signposts to the transforming power of God's glorious grace. So to conclude, it has been a whistle-stop tour of Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. And I do encourage you to memorize it, like that good old man of faith encouraged me a number of years ago to do that. Because these verses outline God's eternal purpose to renew, rebuild, restore, and ultimately bring us to a place of rejoicing in him. And as we align ourselves to this purpose and this understanding, the vision of TBC for this year doesn't just become a mission statement, it becomes a reflection of God's heart for the community that we live in. So as we come to a close, I just want us all to be encouraged by what is and will be happening, because that's the most exciting thing, what will be happening in our communities and in our own lives. And I pray that through the renewing and restoring power of the Holy Spirit, which we can call upon daily, moment by moment, we will all feel more equipped and refreshed and ready to see God's kingdom come and his will be done in our lives, our church, and our communities. Amen.
Amen.
Just going to end with a prayer. Father God, thank you for Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14, and what they mean to each one of us. And as we take a deeper dive into that ourselves, you'll reveal something that will help us to deliver our vision of providing opportunities for our communities and for each our neighbours, for our places of work, to get a better sense of a loving Heavenly Father who wants, through His grace, His kindness, and His mercy, He wants to nurture us in the belief that through Him, lives can be transformed and things can change. And not change for now, but change for eternity. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.